start by saying this. The material in the book is more of an introduction than the lesson, but there's a lot of definitions there. There are some things that will be important to you, some of them from a worldly perspective, but that will help you to understand critical thinking, both what it is and what it's not. We need to know what it's not. Critical thinking is not learning some material long enough to take a test. That's not critical thinking. I was good at that in school. That really hurt me when I went to college, I'll just tell you that. You know, I could remember what the teacher said and get an A on the test, but that's not learning. That's not critical thinking. And that's not what it is. And so there's some definitions about what it is. I really appreciated John's lesson a couple of days ago on this subject and his information on definitions, words, verses that teach you what critical thinking is, like Hebrews 4 and verse 12, and the Word of God and how it gets down to the very heart of who we are, and able to help us grow and mature and understand the ways of God. Those things are all part of that discussion. I've listed a lot of verses there in that outline that you can see that God expects us to think, to reason, to understand, to be able to apply properly the Word. And I hope that we'll be able to deal with some of that as we get a little bit further into this. But I wanted to start by talking about asking some questions. If you don't know, I work both in the oil field and as a preacher. My job in the oil field, I'm a human performance coach. What that means is I observe people. I really do get paid to watch people. That's what I get paid to do. And after I watch them in their performance, my job is to ask the types of questions we talked about yesterday. So both of those lessons have a lot of bearing on what I do. They help us to understand what people are doing. Because my job is not to be the SME. You know what SME stands for? Subject Matter Expert. I'm not the SME. I'm the observer. And I'm supposed to ask them questions in such a way that they explain to me what they're doing, why they're doing it, how they're doing it, how it protects them, how they apply it, how they went back to the source, the procedure. And listen, every bit of that has bearing on the work as a preacher and the life of a Christian. And it helps me a lot, and a lot of the training that I go through, my job's not to provide them with the answers, but to help them think about how they can recognize some things. And I want you to think about some of these ideas. Error traps. Anybody ever heard of an error trap? This is an interactive class, so don't be afraid to speak up. You know what an error trap is? It's something that's has the potential to get you hurt, injured, harm you in some way. And there are a lot of error traps. Brant talked about a few of them earlier. We're going to reference some of those same ones in just a moment. But there are some error traps in the life that we live that have a potential of catching us if we're not using our hearts and minds to stay focused on God. We also look for something called latent conditions. You know what a latent condition is? Anybody? You know what the word latent means?
Suppressed.
And typically it would be suppressed in that I now have become so accustomed with what I'm doing that I lost focus and the ability to see the other risks that are around me. I, for instance, here are some latent conditions. There are cables on the ground that I have walked over about 20 times already, and we quit thinking about them. And then you know what happens? Someone trips and falls, right? No, we don't want that. So what do you have to do to avoid the latent condition? To deal with the thing that has been suppressed that we do not see, what do we have to do as Christians? Open our eyes. We have to be observant. We have to pay attention. We have to be aware. Identify. That's right. And so I want to, in way of introduction, say that we've got error traps and latent conditions in our world, especially for men, that can be something that brings us down. Now, I want to show show you that technology is not all bad. And technology has a lot of good uses. I've been talking to a lot of people this week. I joked a minute ago, 4 hours and 45 minutes for this class. And the truth is, I could fill it all. But the fact is, there are some positives about technology. This is a four-gas monitor, or this is actually an H2S monitor. We have four-gas monitors. We have multi-gas monitors that keep people safe in the oil field. This primarily deals with H2S gas. If you are in H2S and it's over 10 parts per million, you've got to get out. Crosswind and upwind, you don't want to walk directly upwind because you'll walk right into the harm, right? But this has some warnings. And it would be nice if we had something like this as a Christian. Okay, so everybody see what happened? What happened? Red light. Did you hear what happened? A beep. If you were holding it, you would have felt that it vibrated. With three of the senses that we talked about on Wednesday, this is going to give you a warning to look, listen, feel, to know there's error. Do we have anything in the world today that will help the Christian look, listen, feel, understand that there's a potential for sin and error? The Word of God, when applied to what? Say it out loud. Knowledge, your heart, your mind, wisdom. Man, I don't hear very well. You've got to speak up loud, I assure you that. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Anybody know what this is? In particular, it's my heart now. Okay? Now, all those stickers mean certifications that I've had that make it where I can go on vacation. Right? This is a really neat instrument. This instrument protects my head. Now, it's a little false sense of security, because if a 250,000-pound motor on a drilling rig falls, right? But it has this little design right here is important because it causes things to ricochet and reflect off and not hit the bottom. It's got vents and things that protect me. It's got a liner here. It's got a support system that allows airflow inside. That's supposed to keep you cooler. It doesn't. I assure you that. This becomes a sauna. And a big boy like me, I sweat profusely. But you know where the heart hack came from? Anybody? Any history? I think Michael probably knows, but World War I, automated weaponry, machine guns, started being used in war. They created a hard helmet for our soldiers, and it's called the Doughboy. One of the lieutenants that was in war came home. His family owns a business, mining, and he said, that thing's too big, but we got to have something like that. And so he took a canvas hat like a ball cap, and he shellacked the outside of it, and he put that system in it to hold it up off their head. He put a leather piece on it, and he put a light on the front, and the first hard hat was born. Protect people. Somebody was using their head. They were critically thinking about a solution and how to solve the problem. See, now, I already told you, a big boy like me, I sweat profusely. I got one of these that goes on that hard hat. Y'all know what that is? You know what do they call people in the oil field? Roughnecks. Why do they get a rough neck? Sun baked the leather. Man, every day when I come in, I'm as beet red as could be. I'm not kidding. That's a great technological advancement. How about one of these? Y'all know what this is? It's a microphone. I put my camera on my phone on this, and I view myself and preach the gospel a couple of times a week using this. I do some YouTube and Facebook shows and programs, all using it. That's technology. It can be good. But you know what? That can also be negative. There are many benefits that can help the church, and I'm going to talk about some in just a minute. But there are some common uses of consumption of media today, which is where I want to get to quickly here. Anybody ever heard of cord cutting? You know what cord cutting is? You know, most people don't watch TV anymore. There are still some of us who are older. The age group usually becomes 55 plus, still like the traditional television. But, you know, what do most younger people do today when they watch media? They stream, right? There's all kinds of streaming services. There's also all kinds of social media, like podcasts. I'll talk about those. I'll talk about them in a minute. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram is real popular. Facebook, my youngest daughter, she's a sophomore in
tells me the only reason I like Facebook is because it's for old people. Those are just some of the social media. But vlogs, that kind of thing is more popular. Newspaper, who reads a newspaper? People with gray hair. Somebody joked about that earlier, right? Very, very few people that are young read the newspaper or watch nightly news. They're watching more of it today, right now, the last couple of weeks, and they've watched it a long time. And that's because of the unrest and the feelings and emotions of the nation. Why am I talking about this? Why does it matter? How does this affect the church? What purpose can it be used for good for the church? Well, let me explain, because apparently I need to explain a little bit more. But Google is the number one search engine in the world. You know what number two is? YouTube. People are bringing in more media through watching videos and listening than even from reading. It has become one of the greatest sources of information in our world today. And I want to show you why this is important. All right? So, what must I do to be saved? Google search. I can pull out my phone from work and it says Siri. First thing that pops up is a video from Jenny Swaggart's ministry. And it's Gabriel who's doing the preaching here. And then there's a Pastor Greg Laurie. Then there's some other denominations, and on and on and on. And the other day I went through and I looked at every single one of these that show up on the first page of Google. And you know what they all are? They're all denominations that teach error, and you will have no hope of going to heaven if you follow their plans. All right? I did the same thing on YouTube. Now, Don Blackwell's video is the first one that pops up whenever you ask that question on YouTube. But all the rest of the videos are from the world. Same thing. Do I need to be baptized? And if I do that, you have the same result. Do I need to be baptized? What does... Yes, it does. You're all right. So, if you do this, you know what you find out? Well, if you're a Christian, you ought to be baptized, not because you're going to be saved, but because page after page after page. All right? And I asked probably 40 questions to both Google, Yahoo, YouTube, things along those lines.
Get an iPhone. Yeah.
Get an iPhone. All right. Okay. So here's the problem is Google's number one and YouTube's number two, not Siri. Okay? That's the number. That's the number. So here's the thing. Here's why this is important. I asked, can a woman be a preacher? Everything that showed up was positive. Does this matter? Where is the world getting media today? Right here. So how are we going to reach them? Listen, I don't want to get off on a lecture on how to manage social media, but I do want to tell you, we've got to get better at understanding some of these things, like SEO, search engine optimization. We've got to get better. We need to learn about hashtags and keywords and putting in the right tags. Do you know something else? You want to learn how to pick a sermon title? One of the ways you can do it is keywords. And so I'm going to just show you here. The gospel says that I must. As it comes up, I put mine, and I'll just show Rick. If I put the cursor at the end of the word must, it gives me a ton of options. Must, what's the first one?
Be baptized.
Be baptized.
Travel. Travel lyrics. Travel song. Tell Jesus. Be preached. First be preached.
Okay. Those are the top 10 things that come up under the subject, the gospel says that I must. You know what that means? The top 10 things that people are looking for when they hit Google are those items right there. Now, again, I don't have time to go into SEO and keywords and all that, but if you want your videos to rank, you want your sermons to show up on Google searches, you need to have the keywords and the titles that are what are being searched for. That can help. Why does it matter? Because the world is going to social media to get their answers. They're not going guys can help us, as was mentioned earlier, some of us older guys, to do this. And we need to learn these things and see how we can be beneficial in the church. Do you know the average person in 2019 was predicted that they would use social media 110 minutes per day for 2020. 110 minutes per day. Almost 2 hours a day. But then we have the coronavirus. Do you know what's happened since then? Yes. 80%. 80% increase in the projected use of social media videos and so on. For example, I mentioned podcasts. There are some of us here who have a podcast. 30 million episodes were viewed in or listened to in April 2020. 55% of the U.S. listen to the podcast every year. That's 155 million people. 51% last year. So we have substantial growth from last year to this year. And we're not even halfway through the year and already 155 million people. 24% listen every week. 37% listen once a month. You want information out there? Faster growing than YouTube is podcasts. People want to listen to the information. Why do people want to listen rather than watch?
On the driving.
We're active, moving, driving, right? We put it on Bluetooth and listen in the car, all right? So it's something very important. Here's some stats as far as that goes. Age group, 12 to 34 are listening to 38% of the media. 35 to 54, 32% of the media. That's 70% of the media that's being listened to is from those younger than 55. So, by the way, in that older group, 55 and up, the number's actually going down. They're listening less. The place that people are searching for information is 55 and under. That's the group that's searching. Now, I got to get to this part. This is the part that I really wanted to get to. That is pornography. What do you suppose has happened with pornography and technology? Listen, there's a ton of good uses. I told Tom earlier, I wish we could have an entire day on positive uses of technology. Bible study software, being able to pull up logouts and do a keyword search for a book and look at all the top keyword uses, look how to use what this word means, going back to the group. There's a ton of things positive. But we could also have one that's all day on the negatives of technology. So think about this. How has the current situation affected pornography in the United States of America and around the world? Has it gone up or has it gone down? Up dramatically. All right? So the world's top porn site, I won't tell you what it is. You don't need to know. In March, it was up 11.6%. This is just one site. There's millions of sites. Just one site, up 11.6%. In April, it was up 18%. In May, it was up 22% over March, not over last year. Just over March, which was already up 11.6%, and they don't have the June numbers yet, of course, because we're just starting. But last year, on this one site, there were 42 billion videos of pornography watched. One site, 42 billion. This year, it's estimated in the mid 50 billion sites or videos will be watched on that one site. And the largest single day so far this year was on March 6th, and there were 1.5 million videos watched on that one site. Yes, sir.
I was at a seminar, a business seminar, and they actually got in some research on this and showed years ago, I think it was in California, they had a bomb threat. They literally thought there's some meat. I can't remember what year it was, but they thought something had blown up. And the porn site dropped to nothing. And then they figured out it was not true, and the bomb didn't go off, and then it went straight back up. It just shows you, I mean, this is serious stuff.
It is. So, somebody was talking about this earlier.
Brant, when you look at these numbers, it's not saying these are the people in the world that do this. It's saying this is all people who are doing this. One study that I did for the question coming up in a moment from Ohio State University, studied how many kids that are in college, and I say kids, that's because I've got gray hair, but, you know, these young men and women who are in college, how many of them participate in sex? 80%. That was the Ohio State study. 80%. 80%. That's not saying the world has 80% and the church has none. It's saying of those in school, 80% are having sex. Most of those are having multiple partners. I don't have time to talk about that. Ohio State. Yes. So they do have that information on that study, and they also have those who came in as older students, those who came in as freshmen out of high school. All that stuff matters, right? It does matter. It can skew the numbers one way or the other. Italy. How hard was Italy hit with coronavirus? Really hard. A lot of it has to do with Chinese workers in the leather factories and some of those kinds of things. Again, the numbers are skewed, but because they locked down the whole country, and I mean they locked it down against the law to go out in the street, pornography went up 57%. In Spain, it went up 61%. We're still counting. We don't know the end of ours yet, all right? Can you imagine the volume of people that are watching pornography? It's unbelievable. Psychologist, you just take the first part of that, the psychologist, that they say this. Here's the reasons why they say that people are involved in this. Number one, sexual arousal. There is an appeal for sexual arousal. As Brant mentioned earlier, where are we supposed to get sexual desires fulfilled? In marriage. That's it. That's the plan God has authorized, and it's the plan that God, he's pleased with. That's the only plan. Another reason is stress and distress. What is the Christian supposed to do if they're stressed or distressed? By the way, I don't really buy that argument, but that's what they say leads people to pornography. What are we supposed to do if we have stress or distress? Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. What else? I'm sorry. Yes. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. We've got to come unto him. We need to put our trust in him. We need to think on things that are pure and holy and just and virtuous and praiseworthy. Philippians 4 and verse 8. We've got to have the right mindset, the right heart. So if I'm in stress, go a couple of verses before that, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with what? Prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I'm letting my request be made known to God. And what will he do? Guard my hearts and minds. Okay? So if I'm in distress or stress or anxiousness, there are solutions. Another reason they say is loneliness and depression. If you're lonely or depressed, what do you need to do? Go talk to somebody else. What's that? Assemble with the saints. Exactly. Oh, do something for someone else. Okay. That's right. So our worship is doing something for someone else. While we're worshiping God, we serve one another, love and good works. But also, the point about doing something for someone else. I'm not saying 10-step programs are the way to go, but you know what every one of the 10-step programs have within it? You quit focusing on yourself and you start doing things for other people. Your attitude is one of service. How about this? Another reason, one of the biggest reasons people participate in pornography is boredom. Boredom. Can you believe that? And in fact, the quote that I read was, it's not just the use of pornography, but a even higher percentage of use than the other categories. Why is boredom the number one reason why people view pornography? Idle minds. What is the old expression? Are the devil's workshop. So how do we not have an idle mind? How do we not be bored? Listen, if you're bored, you come to Odessa. I've got plenty of work for you. All right? Philippians 4:8. Romans 12. That's exactly right. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
No, it's a study to show thyself.
Study to show thyself the truth of God.
Man will work, neither shall he eat. People don't have nothing to do.
you've got to get to work. So if you do have to stay home, you're in a university and they say, we're not having classes, you're going to have online classes, you've got three classes a week, and you're viewing them online, the rest of the time you got to yourself. What do you need to do? Stay busy. How am I going to stay busy at home? Study the Bible. Call my brethren. You think you're lonely. How about grandma that hadn't seen grandson, granddaughter, great-grandkids in weeks and months? Call her on the phone. Tell her you love her. Write her a letter. There are things we can do as Christians to lift one another up, but if you are bored sitting at the house, you probably didn't grow up on the phone. That's all I'm saying. But if I had told my parents I was bored, whew, I grew up on a dairy farm. There was no downtime. But even when I got in trouble, sometimes it meant more work. Move this haystack from there to here. It was punishment. It needed to be turned over. It needed to breathe and not mold. But it was work. It was work. Anyway, there's work you can do at the house. You can work in the yard. You can repaint a house. There's all kinds of things you can do. Cook something for someone. But study the Bible. That's one of the things we can do. Again, we could go on this all day long. I don't know if you know this, but a couple of years ago, 17 states started trying to sue for the end of pornography. 17 states, two of those dropped off. Texas joined the decision late. We're not even voting on it until 2021 in the legislation. But these states actually have passed legislation to try to make it a public health crisis. Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Idaho, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Montana, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah. Did they stop it?
What year did they do that?
They started trying to push it in 2014. They started passing the legislation in 2016. A lot of it went through in 2017. Texas joined the issue this last year, and they'll not even vote on it until 2021. And there's a ton of articles out there about it. But 15 had passed it, and Texas was trying to pass it. Did they stop it? No, it's up higher more now than ever. It's unbelievable, this desire. Psychology Today, which is a publication, talk about why and why it's affecting us so much right now. And it's under a theory they call terror management theory, and it's this. When we're reminded of our own mortality, this is a quote from them, when we're reminded of their own mortality, we subconsciously alter our attitudes and behaviors to help us cope with the terrifying prospect of our eventual death. I'm afraid of Corona, so I'm going to go have sex. I'm afraid of Corona, so I'm going to watch pornography. That's their argument. What is the Christian supposed to do if he has fear? Pray. Study. Turn to God. The fear of the Lord is what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
pornography good or bad? Listen, dying of a heart attack because I ate too many chicken fries is my fault. Listen, you want to talk about vices? We probably ought to talk about gluttony, eating, being overweight. We ought to talk about some of those things. We ought to. That's my responsibility. It was my fault. I don't blame Michael one bit. It was not. It does have nothing to do with Michael. Nothing. No, not one bit. It is my fault. If I'm involved in pornography, whose fault is it? Is it the government's fault because they said stay home? Is it a coronavirus's fault for making me afraid, not trusting God, and staying home? Whose fault is it if I'm dealing with pornography? It's my fault. So my mortality shouldn't come to my mind because of fear of the world. My mortality ought to come to bearing in my mind because I understand that someday I'll stand before the one true God and receive the things done based on how I've lived my life. I would rather be like those in Revelation 14. When they die, how do they die? In the Lord. And their works who follow them. How do their works follow them? Because they did good things for God. They did faithfully. They were obedient. And so blessed are the dead which die. That's what we need to be thinking about. My mortality, that I knew that as soon as I started growing up. I grew up on a dairy farm. I understood things die. I understood that life is not forever. I know those things. My dad is also a preacher. I've been to a lot of funerals in my life. People die. And it doesn't mean just the coronavirus. It means in all places, I've got to be ready to meet my maker.
We have to remember that in Hebrews 2, Satan used fear to keep people subject to bondage. And then by the time you get to 1 John chapter 4, perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out fear. What's the problem? That's opposite of that love that casts out fear. What is it? Well,
sin and lack of faith, right?
All right, so I want to give you another couple of stats, and I got to move on. At the end of April, Forbes, everybody knows who Forbes is, right? Forbes, they have a business magazine. They're reporting on business. They're not talking about morality. They're talking about business. Over 7,132 videos have been made in pornography just dealing with quote-unquote fetishes dealing with the coronavirus. Like, people actually use the things going on to make videos of vileness involving masks, gloves, washing, things along those lines. People use the current situation to even pervert it even more. This is not about health, by the way. And let's not chase that. One of the fastest growing porn sites in the world today is an amateur porn site. It's not even one of the big boys. And it started during this pandemic. You know why? Because a lot of single moms, a lot of business professional moms, people that were making a living lost their jobs and went home. And you know what happened? It's a group, it's a site kind of like Facebook. And these women went on there and started showing their bodies, started doing sex acts on these things, and people would pay them as they saw. And some of these women will never return to the workplace because they're making more money on that site. I listened to this on a radio talk show not too long ago, and they were talking about how this is progressing, and it's they call it the wave of the future. Now, it's a wave of sin, and that kind of sin has been going on since not long after the beginning of the world. This is sexual sin, and it has no part in our lives. And again, I don't want to talk about it much longer, but I'll say this. One of the side effects of all this is that along with it, and Brandt hit on it, there's a big increase in crime. You know, some crime went down. A lot of crime went down. But another group of crimes came up. You know what that is? Abuse. Abuse of women and children at home. Because of what they're watching, what they're seeing, time on their hands, they're bored, they're not being productive, they're not using their time effectively, they're not mentally focused on the things that are wholesome and pure. And it's technology has a lot of negatives. Now listen, I watched tell them, read, read. You want to help your kids develop critical thinking. It's not through social media. It's not through watching videos on a tablet or a cell phone. You want your child to develop. They need to read. They need to read. Yes, sir.
Y'all can go check this out, but Steve Jobs didn't even let his children have an iPhone. I'll tell you something.
Well, in fact, there's a whole list of some of the biggest industry leaders who are in the same boat. Bill Gates, his family, they do not allow any of their family, nieces, nephews, all of them. They will not allow them. Yes. That's the argument of teachers' college, by the way. What people do is the kid's crying, let me get them to shut up, let me hand it to them. It destroys their ability of critical thinking. So, shift gears. Really, I want to get to 1 John. I've been wanting to get to 1 John. I know I have too much information. But let me just say this in passing. There's some great technology available, like Kahoot. If you're not familiar with Kahoot, there's other programs like it. But you can, I could have a projector right here. I could have a screen up here. Everybody's on their cell phone. I'm asking a question. What does this passage refer to? It's talking about John, Paul, Peter, Mary. And they can answer on their phone, answer the question. It'll tell you who's the fastest one to answer. It'll tell you how many percentage have the right answer, and so on. Great teaching tool. It's free as long as you use it for 10 or less. There's a small monthly fee for bigger groups. And there are others. We use that for work, and a lot of schools use it. There's software like eSword or Logos. Let me warn you, though, there's a lot of good on there. There's a lot of bad on those two. There's a false information available. You got to know how to use the tool. Bible searches, word searches, lexicons, dictionaries, those kinds of things are all good. And I just want to use an example. If I was going to talk about 1 John, and again, I don't have time to do what I wanted to do, but 1 John, if we said what are the key words in 1 John, it's going to be words like fellowship and love, to know. Many times he says to know. There's some cool things in the book, like he says, I write to you, and he tells you why. Over several times, you want to find out why he wrote? He tells you multiple times in the book. Really neat things. But I want to deal with one of the key words in the book very quickly because of some stuff mentioned earlier in the week. And that word is sin, all right? By the way, in the first verse, talking about some of the things Israel was talking about a few days ago, John says, I heard, I saw, I beheld, and I handled. And those words, I talked to Rick about this the other day on his radio program. You can see somebody and just walk by. It's not that big a deal, right? You can hear them, and, you know, you can listen, but, again, you're not fully engaged. But that word beheld in the American Standard, it means that I'm gazing at, I'm staring at, I'm paying attention to, I'm locked in on him. And then that last word is I handled. I was there. I saw it. So the things that John says in 1 John, you can believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's saying, I'm an eyewitness. I can give testimony. You and I can't give testimony. But John could give firsthand eyewitness testimony. And he tells us about sin. So very quickly, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 tells us about sin. Verse 7, the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin. John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. You ought to use those two together. God so loved the world, here's how we know love. Christ laid down his life. All right? Verse 8, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we lie and do not, and we make God a liar, which is even worse, and his word is not in us. Sin is brought out in the very beginning of this book. If you have sin, what are you supposed to do? Get rid of it. If you say that you have not sinned, what does that make you? A liar. You've compounded your sin. All right, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now we have that attorney, that advocate, who's both advocate and judge. He pleads our case and he sets us free. We're innocent through him. But I want you to notice what he says about that sin. 1 John chapter 2. All right, I'm using the New King James Version. But there are, it won't do us any good to read from 1 Peter. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if
If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is our propitiation for our sins, that covering for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Question, Jesus died and covered our sins? He covered the whole world's sins? We don't need to teach about baptism and faithfulness and all that? The sins of the world are covered? Is that what that means? No. No, that's not what it means. Does it mean that there is the potential for our sins to be forgiven? Opportunity. What do we have to do? Yeah, just read the next few verses. I have to know his commandments. I have to keep his commandments. I have to be perfected in him through the love of God. I need to continue to walk in his ways. Walk as he walked, verse 6. I need to follow the conditions that he's laid out of love and not hating my brother. Verses 9 through 11, boy, does the world need that. Verses 15 through 17, I can't love the world or the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory or pride of life. That's all sin. I can't do that thing. Instead, I need to abide with him and practice righteousness as he ends that chapter, verses 28 and 29. But look over at chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Whoever sins, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. He says several things in this book about sin is. You need to listen to that as well. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let us not deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And we could go on, but I want to go back to verse 4, 5, and 6. Does this mean that if you abide in him and walk in him, you do not sin? That's not what it means. All right? Go back to the first chapter, and it says, if we say that we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. So do we sin? Yes. So what's he talking about? If we abide in him, we don't sin. We have to live it. We have to have a righteous life. We have to follow in his path. We have to keep on keeping on, if you will. And again, there's more I'd love to say, but go to chapter 5. Verse 16 and following. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And so on. He keeps talking about the sway of the evil one, the wicked one. Okay, so I've got to close, but let me say this. Sin leading to death and sin not leading to death. What's the difference? Can I go out and sin and think that I'm okay? What's that? Repentance. That's the key. Go back to the first chapter. When the idea is presented that I can sin and it's okay, like I could be righteous all my life and in the last minute go commit fornication and then die and I'm okay, that's wrong, folks. That's false. There is no way I can be a sinner and live a sinful life and be right with God. Now, the only reason I mentioned all that is because earlier in the week there was some discussion about sin. If you go to 1 John and you search sin, you find out how many times it's talked about. You find out about why it's talked about. You can see the sin is statements. You can see these statements. But if you don't go to the right source for study, you can be in trouble. Because if you look up that passage, you're going to see all kinds of error taught. And it is not right, folks. Even in the church, there are some who teach that, by the way. We have to be people who are faithful. And when we sin, we must repent of that sin and come home, or we're going to be lost.